do. All right, moving on. We are on now item number 6. Discussion and possible action on review of Master Limited Partnership Investment Management Services. Okay, Richard, we're going to let you talk to us about Master Limited Partnerships.
Right. This this is another, if you will, I think long-term diversifying asset class. Has another, also has a significant income component to it. Its structure, quite frankly, is very similar to REITs in that they're required to pay out like 90% of their earnings in the form of dividends. So there's a very, very high, if you will, income component. And if you look at it over rolling 3-year periods, over a long period of time, the yield on MLPs has basically been equivalent to the yield on triple B bonds. So you get fixed income, if you will, type of yield or income off of it with some capital appreciation assets. One of the very, I think, important components of this is that this is like a toll road. It's not really, if you will, connected totally to the underlying component that goes through that toll road. It's just collecting a toll. Stuff moves through the pipeline. Stuff is stored from the standpoint of energy. Rent is collected. Along with that, there's also a inflation factor, which is very important in the overall equation, in that as inflation goes up, the cost of moving that product through the pipeline goes up, that's collected. So over time, you've got a growing stream of income. And that tends to give the asset class, if you will, the component of being like a fixed income investment, but also having an inflation protection component with it. Over long periods of time, it's had incredible return. If you look at page 3 of the MLP handout, over the last 10 years, MLPs have had a total return of like 15.5%. 8 years, 14.9%, 7 years, 14.6%, 6 years, 16%. So fairly, you know, if you will, equivalent longer-term returns, but just like REITs got tied up with the equity mess and that happened in 2008, and had a big negative year in 2008. Most other years have been positive. If you look at it year by year on page 4, there have been a few years of negative performance, but significant, if you will, upside potential over you know, almost 70-80% of the years. Compared to the S&P 500, outperformed the S&P over most time frames with a significant, if you will, income component to it. Did not outperform the S&P during that huge, if you will, run-up from the standpoint of growth portfolios that happened at the end of the 1990s. 1999, 98, 97, those time frames when the stock market was just going like gangbusters. But great long-term returns, and it's part of the infrastructure. This is, quite frankly, an asset class that's not going away. If you look on page 5, the Alerian MLP Index compared, if you will, to the S&P 500 over the 15 years, higher return and lower volatility. And if you look on page six, you can see that more recently, as coming out of, if you will, the 2008 timeframe, the correlations went up as it went down in 2008 and then back up along with the equity market. Over longer time frames, the correlations have been lower. Whether that correlation is going to stay high or not, I don't know, but I do think that it's probably going to revert a little bit more back down towards the 60% area versus the 80% current area. On page seven, looking at MLPs from the standpoint of upside and downside capture. During the stock market, when it was really, in downside most of the time, MLPs had very little downside participation and only has 20% downside capture. 2008 was an anomaly in which everything sold off. And part of the reason MLPs sold off that time frame is they were the long position of many hedge funds. The hedge fund managers really liked them. The problem was they're also illiquid, and so when the hedge fund managers got their redemption calls, they had to sell them. And their buddies who didn't have them as a long position, and since the, Paulson and his buddies had taken off the uptick rule, they turned around and said, wow, we can help them out. So they helped sell them for them. And so everything just went boom, down like a rock, but recovered very, very nicely. Upside capture, not all of the market, obviously, but if you don't go down as much, you don't have to go up nearly as rapidly either. And a huge batting average in beating the S&P 500 50%, or more than 50% of the time.
Again, these own multiple parts of the industry.
That's correct. We're not talking about any one like Kinder Morgan or whatever. Yeah. We're talking about multiple.
But one of them had the Kinder Morgan.
Yeah.
Involved. Kinder Morgan, did they have to sell, or what happened to them? Something happened to them recently. Or did they buy somebody? I'm trying to, something in the news about Kinder Morgan.
Yeah, I think they bought, was it El Paso?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm blind.
Well, anyway, Kinder Morgan is a big fish.
Kinder Morgan bought El Paso.
I think it was El Paso.
They bought El Paso.
Somebody was in Straits that I had read this deal, and they were rescuing the mine or something.
Yeah,
there's something about it.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. These are portfolios of multiple MLPs.
Tortoise seems to own all of their entities. When I looked at it, they've got about five or six MLPs underneath them, but they seem to own all of it. Or I misinterpreted, which is very possible.
Tortoise is a portfolio manager. And they, they have a number of closed-end funds.
Right. Yeah.
They have some separate account business, significant amount of separate account business, and they have one opened-end mutual fund.
Good. Okay.
They've been a very good manager over a long, period of time in the MLP space, as have all these other the managers that we've got here have here.
Why is there a concentration in the oil and gas industry with MLPs? Is that where they found a home, or
the oil and gas industry likes to reinvest all of their cash flow into exploration reserves? So this is a very capital intensive part of their infrastructure for a natural gas and pipeline system. oil pipelines, and it just kind of been the vehicle of choice to finance this infrastructure out of. That's my comment.
Yeah, a lot of them had them, they were part of the companies, and they spun them off. And a lot of private equity funds helped them do that and made a lot of money doing it. And there are more of them being created every week, as a matter of fact. So the overall, fishing pool is expanding, which makes it very, very good, too. And because of that, I think, expansion, some of the active management versus the index may start to do better.
Well, if you look at Tortoise, they shrunk the least in 08. They were...
Yeah, Tortoise, I've had clients with Tortoise for over 5 years. And they've done a very good job for them, both, separate account and from standpoint of using some of their closed-end accounts. And now they have an opened-end mutual fund, which is a little bit more infrastructure and not totally, MLP-oriented, but owning some of the operating companies of MLPs. Tortoise, I was talking with them about this and from the standpoint of a public entity and how the K-1 situation would impact them. And there, he said, almost to a man, the public funds have taken the position that they're not taxable, and so they don't care. The key seems to be, and I've got to ask that question, is the key seems to come down to, and this is from the standpoint of unrelated business taxable income, because the way these things pay them out there, they in the form of dividends, they come out without having been taxed as earnings to begin with. The tax falls on the recipient, which is a huge benefit for individuals. But they say, okay, if there's a state or public entity and/or whoever works for it, if the underlying pool of assets has a oversight by or a guarantee by state or local government, then they've taken the position that there's no taxable problem. And so that, I wanted to bring that up because I do know that there's been concern over the years about unrelated business taxable income.
So that would be different if a private entity had a pension plan and they invested in it.
They may have to file a tax return. Yeah.
That was my understanding, because we passed on these because of that.
That's right.
But you're saying that if it's a governmental entity, that there'd be no...
There's no tax anyway.
No, but there's unrelated business taxable income on something. Like if you put this in your personal IRA,
right,
you pay on it.
Right.
You pay EBT out.
Right.
But because we are Brazos River Authority, we will pay none.
Right.
And that's down in writing somewhere.
As Brazos, you're,
I mean, it pertains to these investments.
Well, I mean, what I'm getting back to is the River Authority has a state guarantee of if you issue debt, is the state guarantee that debt?
No.
No?
No.
So, are you a separate corporation then?
We're a separate agency, self-funded, self-supported. But we are a governmental entity.
Yeah. We are.
What's the term?
Okay.
We're authority.
Well, of the income component itself, not or most of that income component over a number of years comes back in the form of return of capital. So even though it's coming back, it's not...
Annual income.
Annual income.
Well, you know, it says in their printout that there's no K-1s or 1099 tax reported.
In?
In the MLP, potential advantages. Is that, would that be for a private investor? They wouldn't have to pay gain or any type of tax on it while they hold it?
No.
Like, you'd have to get one of those two.
When you sold it, when they sold it, that's when you get your gain. What's your saying?
Well, from individual standpoint?
Well, I'm reading their write-up. It says no K-1s or 1099 tax reporting, qualified dividends, no leverage, continuous liquidity. This is their fact sheet.
This is Alarion. Alarion.
This is Alarion's fact sheet.
Oh, that's, well, there's got to be a 1099. There's one or the other.
The biggest risk in MLPs, as they disclose here on their fact sheet, is that they're going to be controlled by a general. When you invest in these MLPs, they're going to have a general partner that's
right.
going to control it for their
right.
benefit. And that's
right.
one of the reasons why the energy companies like it, is they're not having to put their capital into all this infrastructure, but they can still control it and do what they want to.
And they rake off what they want to before they pass it on to the rest of the public.
Sure. So that's the benefit for them. And
competition driving is how much they'll take out of the fund.
Right.
This, their management fees.
This one says a 0.85. 85 basis
points. Well, that's 85 basis points to create the index. That's correct. And
so you're recommending Alarion?
If you buy Alarion, then you'll be buying, I guess, units, basically, and not.
And they buy other MLP.
No,
entities.
AMJ, if you will, if you look at the Alarion MLP index, there's a ETN that's is put out by J.P. Morgan Chase. And J.P. Morgan Chase will be doing that behind the scenes, but the ETN is a debenture issued by J.P. Morgan Chase. So you do have a credit issue with gaining the Alarion MLP index through the ETN area.
So Alarion has several then? Several MLPs? Those are just one?
Oh, they've got several.
So it's AMZ?
AMJ.
AMJ, okay.
And there's Alarion MLP infrastructure, and whatever. One of them is run by Cushing, which is Swank Capital. There's another one that's under, which is issued by Morgan Stanley, and there's another one that is issued by Credit Suisse.
Well, I pulled up the AMJ. It says J.P. Morgan Alarion MLP Index ETN.
Right.
$40.46. It's up 3.8% for the year. And
it appears to me that, and again, my bias is showing that Tortoise is closer to the industry than the others are.
Right.
As an entity, I mean, they appear to be really more focused on pipeline. Oil related services, just my casual observation. But FAMCO, and I could never quite figure out, FAMCO looks like it's owned by a group out of Pakistan, or I sure got the wrong one. That's what kept coming back up. And I thought, well, okay, we don't want anything to do with that. But as I say, that Chickasha owns a bunch of different pieces.
Right. Swank Capital is Cushing.
Yeah.
Tortoise. like I said, it's been in the business for a while. They run some portfolios for clients.
They have the most consistent record, if you look at it.
They've had a very good record. What's really good about it, quite frankly, is they've been consistent about how they've obtained that record. Chickasaw, it tends to be more volatile.
Pretty new, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 7 years starting upset. This particular fund.
Okay, so we have these MLPs that are nearing our lunch hour for consideration. Do you have a recommendation on what you want us to do, what you recommend to the committee?
Well, there are two ways we can go, and quite frankly, the index for most of them has been really hard to beat. Tortoise has been successful in beating the index. If you want me to recommend a separate account, I would recommend Tortoise. If you want make sure that you want it, and which come with a K-1, if you wanted to have a 1099, I would recommend the Alerian MLP index.
Does anybody have a feel our tax situation is in these things? Anybody? Jim, anybody?
I thought we were tax exempt.
Right.
We would be.
We don't pay
any. Yeah, we have any return.
Okay, so it doesn't make any difference in whatever kind of. Okay, so I assume that was right, but I just didn't know.
All that would be deferred.
I'm not sure. I think you're buying two different things here. If you buy, I don't understand. I'm sorry, I don't understand better. That's why I'm asking. But it's like if you buy, you have down here Alerian MLP.
Right.
But when I pull it up with what you said, you're actually buying an exchange-traded note.
Right.
Which is different than buying a master limited partnership directly, correct?
Fund.
Right.
I mean, I'm asking.
You're buying shares. We'd be buying shares.
Yeah, you're buying shares in an exchange-traded note as opposed to buying part of a master limited partnership.
Right.
And the purpose of that exchange-traded note is to try to achieve index-type returns of this group of 25 master limited partnerships.
Right.
So, need one more piece of information.
Well, on page 16, if I may, it shows the tickers of the 5 different mutual funds that we're considering that are master limited partnership mutual funds, or they're named master limited partnerships. Those funds, and we can pull up on a quote basis, and which I've done a couple of them, but if we look at Tortoise, it's TOR.
That's their opened-end fund.
Okay, is that what we're considering purchasing?
I was talking about the Tortoise, and all the returns you saw earlier were basically Tortoise from the standpoint of their overall separate account portfolio management. And
so is it yes or no? Is this what we would be considering, this index, this mutual fund?
I would recommend the separate account over the mutual fund.
Okay. So where would we go see that? Where's that?
Yeah.
Those are the returns you saw earlier. This mutual fund has not been around that long.
It's pretty short-lived. It's last year it started.
Right.
So my question to you is there a public index for us to see what this MLP trades, where it trades?
What's the identifier? If I was going to buy this right now, what would I be typing in?
Yeah, what would be the index?
It's a separate account. You wouldn't be typing in.
Who would we go to buy it?
Tortoise.
Straight to them?
Yeah. It would be the way that was phrased earlier about investment management agreement. That's what it would be.
So I can Google Tortoise, find out what their price is, or call them up on that day, or what?
No. It would be just like if you hired BlackRock again, you'd give them the money and they would invest it for you. Then you would have individual shares of multiple MLP.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that it has the same taxation as an exchange traded note. I don't know.
Well, this exchange traded note is a 1099. The portfolio that would be run by Tortoise would be a K-1.
Yeah, the exchange trading, but you don't pay unrelated business taxable income on 1099 income.
Right.
But you do pay it. Some entities pay it.
Some entities.
If they are on, and I would think that would be not prudent of us if we, but we need to know for sure that we're not getting into UBTI. If for no other reason, it's a pain in the butt to calculate.
Right.
I mean, you've got a compliance issue in addition to writing a check.
Right. We'd go to Tortoise Capital Advisors.
Right.
And give them money.
Yes.
And then what would they give us for that? Certificate of Master Limited Partnership?
The Wells Fargo would have an account that says Tortoise Capital Management on it. And under there, they would be buying and selling master limited partnerships on your behalf.
Okay, and would they buy these that are on their website that, you know, the symbols?
No, they would be buying a portfolio of master limited partnerships.
Okay, which is kind of what I'm showing here on their website. All this.
Yeah. I mean, if you see one of their closed-end funds, you may see some of the names you would find in your portfolio.
So we'd be trusting Tortoise to take this money and get us a return, and
right.
And they would invest in a portfolio of master limited partnerships.
The turnover rate's low. Manager fee is 0.95.
On this one, yeah. I tell you, a little bit apprehensive about this move in that. We wouldn't be able to go to. What would we get from Tortoise to say what our asset is?
The same thing you get from BlackRock.
Okay. So
you get a list of your holdings. You'd get the buys and you'd get the sales.
We're just going to turn it over to another money manager, basically.
Right.
But they're going to be targeted for MLPs.
That's correct.
And Richard, how does this differ any from the relationship you have with Royce or with Harbor?
Royce and Harbor are mutual funds.
Okay.
It's like the IRS wants to get their 35%. And so if they don't get it, if you have a mutual fund and there's corporations or the underlying assets, then all those corporations are paying taxes, even though you, as a tax-free pension plan, or if it's in your IRA, you don't pay any taxes. It's tax-free. But the government got their 35%. Well, when you get to limited partnerships, for example, Bluebell Creameries is a limited partnership, okay? So if you had Bluebell Creameries in your IRA, you would pay UBTI, because otherwise you pay no taxes. And so you would have to pay that, and it's a pain to have to do that. And we passed up a bunch of stuff in our pension plan. Of course, we're private, because we didn't want to have to mess with the UBTI, even though it might have been a good investment net of the 35%. It's a compliance issue. You don't want to have to mess with all that stuff. So my question is totally got to do with UBTI. That's because you just don't want to mess with it, because you got enough other stuff to do worrying about how much water's in the lake.
John maybe could answer that better, because I mean, is that something that we even consider in our retirement fund? I mean, we're tax exempt, we're qualified tax exempt.
Well, that's kind of why I asked Richard earlier as far as that would be a concern, because I know on nonprofits, I mean, they got to pay it. I mean, it's
right.
That's something the IRS looks for. But you said that we don't have to worry about that.
Well, what I said was that in talking with Tortoise, they tell me that all of the state and local governments, they've got, if they that they don't worry about it, Now, from the standpoint of, I guess, foundations, endowments, they have to. And so I, you know, I mean, and that's why I asked earlier if there's...
We want some kind of opinion, legal opinion.
Well, that's what I said. Otherwise, and that's why I said earlier, otherwise, if you want 1099 income, you can go to one, you could go to, you know, either the Alerian MLP Index, ETN, or to the Tortoise MLP and Pipeline Institutional Mutual Fund. And those are 1099 entities.
Are your yields going to track what we're seeing with this other?
The JP Morgan will track it. The pipeline may be a little bit different because there are other operating entities in that mutual fund. Over long periods of time, they tend to have the same return. Over short periods of time, you can see divergence.
It appears to me that we've got a lot of questions we can't answer. And I think that maybe we ought to defer this and let's get these issues resolved so we all know where we are.
Well, I think your cost of going to your auditor and asking them to give you an opinion on that would be nothing compared to your cost of having them fill out a UBTI every year.
So okay, so we're...
Let's get an opinion from them.
That the general consensus of the committee to table this matter, so we'll table this matter since it is afternoon.